through 6 and pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach Your Word on prayer, what an important topic, God. I'm humbled this week because of my own conviction in my prayer life, and Father, as I'm sure that we all are at times, and we look at it and we say, no matter how much we pray, Lord, it's not enough. How much we're mindful of You, Father, because of our human nature, it's not enough. And Father, we pray to You now. We just pray, God, that You would empower me to preach this message. We pray, Lord, that You would be with us, that You would give us all a good soil in our heart to receive this message, Lord, and that You would just guide this whole sermon to just glorify You and to get the point across, God, and that every one of us would walk out of here empowered by Your Word. Father, please be with us. I pray for each and every individual here, God, who I love because of You. I just pray, Lord, that we would all be united as one person in our concept and our understanding of what prayer means. Father, we love You. We ask You this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the whole wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then this is where we're going to begin today. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. With this message, we'll be summing up this book. The remaining verses after this are a closing. Certainly there is some truth there, but I think this is going to close up this book. This is pretty much going to sum the whole thing. What an awesome ride it's been. I mean, for me it's been an awesome ride. I love Ephesians. I told you when I began this book that I had wanted to preach on it for a couple years, but I didn't feel like the Lord had really led me there, that He had taken us through Hebrews and 1 Peter and so forth before that. But the Lord finally led us to go through Ephesians, and it's just been a blessing for me. And I trust that it's been a blessing for you too. I mean, there's just so much good, rich doctrinal truth in here. But, you know, I look back to see how long we've been in Ephesians, and I was shocked to find out. How many of you know how long we've been here? We've been here for a while. Almost a year. You guys are pretty good. I didn't think it'd been that long. I thought maybe it'd been like 6 months or so. It's been 2 weeks shy of a year, or 3 weeks shy of a year. We started in March 10th, 2013. March 10th. And we're just now finishing up. I think I preached this will be my 43rd sermon. 43rd sermon through this book. But you know, in our effort to not leave any stone unturned, I'm sure there's lots more here that we could have studied out, but, it took us almost a year to go through this book. But in this book, we've studied out a tremendous amount of doctrine concerning the position of the saints. We spent a lot of time there. And a lot, trying to understand who we are and our redemption in the Lord and our position in Christ and
how much is waiting for us, our glorification to come, and what God has done for us in our faith and where our faith comes from. And the opposition against us and the condition of the world and what God has drawn us out of. We've studied all of that in here. And then we studied about, because of our position, how we are to live, right? We've studied that very thoroughly about the conduct of the Christian and what it means. And it's not about us, but it's about living in a certain way that you glorify God and honor God so that when people see you, they see Christ. And because of what they see in you, they see something different that draws them to Christ. And we saw that. I know we got a blinking light over here. Don't look at that. Okay? Can't fix that right now. We've seen a lot of stuff in this book. A lot of teaching. A lot of doctrine. But what I want to draw your attention to, what I want to point out today, is how Paul concludes this epistle. Paul concludes all of his teaching on our position in Christ and our personal sanctification by saying this, in a sense, you must depend on God. That is what the whole last chapter, the last half of the chapter is about. You have to depend on God. You have to depend on God. And that's such a simple truth, I think. There's nothing complicated about it. Just depend on God. Depend on God. Depend on the Lord for everything. That's really the essence of the Christian victory, isn't it? If you're going to have victory, you have to depend on God. There's no giving it, giving Him a little bit of your attention and depending on Him here and not depending on there. You've got to put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, God's armor, that's what we put on. Right? We have to depend on Him. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, right? We depend on Him for everything. We depend on Him for the truth. We depend on Him for our righteousness. That is the ability to be righteous because we have no ability on our own to be righteous. Amen? We depend on Him for the peace of His gospel. Even our faith is a gift of His. We learned that back in chapter 2, right? That our faith is a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, right? For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We depend on Him for our faith. We depend on Him for our salvation. And of course, it is God who preserves His Word and keeps it in our hearts. We depend on Him to know His Word and know His truth. We depend on God for everything. We depend on Him for the air we breathe, the warmth of the sun, the food on our tables. We literally depend on God for everything. For everything. And I believe that as Paul closes this chapter, he's faithful to point it out. He's faithful to say, listen, none of this matters without God. And so if you're going to have victory, if you're going to overcome anything in this world, if you're going to ever even hope to live righteous and walk in the Spirit and walk in the light and walk in wisdom and all those things that He taught, if you ever hope to do any of that, you have to depend on God. You have to be focused on Him. You have to be mindful of Him in everything you do. In every walk of life. And that's what He does beginning in verse 10. Just look at that verse 10 right there. Finally, this is the what. This is the instruction, the what. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the what. Depend on God. That's the what. Then there's verse 11 and 12. That's the why. Verse 11 and 12 is why. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's the why. Depend on God. Why? Because you have a real enemy that wants to destroy you. And he's very resourceful. And he's very abundant. So if you're ever going to overcome him, you have to depend on God. And then there's the how. And that begins in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded yourself against girding your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of truth, which is the Word of God. And then there's this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. And we'll go on from there. Now notice with me in this verse that we'll be studying today that at the end of his exhortation to put on the whole armor of God, Paul strongly emphasizes the need for prayer. Strongly emphasizes the need for prayer. And I don't know if you see how strongly Paul emphasizes it yet, but you will by the end of this sermon if the Lord empowers me to preach it like I ought to. You'll see how strong the emphasis is here on prayer. But let me just share with you my heart here by making the statement that I believe that prayer is extremely undervalued by Christians today. Prayer is extremely undervalued by Christians. All of us. Every one of us. I'm making a blanket statement. I'm not going to point at anybody outside of the church and say, those dirty, rotten Christians. All of us undervalue prayer. We do. Say, well, not me. Yeah, you. You and me. We undervalue prayer. We don't see the value of prayer. It's really bad in the church at large, but it's here too. We don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't comprehend it. That's not a vague statement either. It's not a catchy thing to say. It's just a fact. And one I can back up with personal experience. Christians just don't seem to care to pray anymore. Don't see the value. Now, some of you are like, I pray all the time, Pastor. I pray. I know I pray for this. I pray for that. I do too. But I'm not perfect, and neither are you. And that's my point. But get this, every time I counsel with someone who's just struggling with their personal walk, or they're stressed out, every time, I see somebody who's just like going through this whole, melodramatic turmoil in their life, and everything's going on in their family, and everybody's fighting, I just can't handle it and everything else, The first thing I'll ask the person is, how's your studies? How's your prayer life? Are you praying? Are you taking the time every morning and connecting with God before you go about your day? Every single time, the answer is no. Every single time, the answer is no. Once in a while, I get that person who says, and it's more than one person, but that person who says, well, not as often as I should. Let me tell you a secret. There's a secret language. That means no. Okay? But we have all these problems. We have this depression. We have this anxiety. We have all this stress in our lives and everything else. And it all goes back to the prayer life, which doesn't exist. And what's funny is you watch these people and they got all this stuff going on in their lives. They got all this stress and everything else. And they don't know how they're going to handle this situation. And they're worried about their job. And they're worried about this or whatever. And then I counsel with them and I say, hey, here's an idea. Why don't you do this? Why don't you wake up first thing in the morning and just pray and give the day to the Lord? Why don't you just, when you first wake up, the first thing you do is just pray to the Lord and just acknowledge who He is, acknowledge the power in your life, and just ask Him to guard your day and ask Him to help you to glorify Him that day. Why don't you start your day like that and give me a commitment. Will you do that? Yes, I commit to doing that. Okay, will you do that? And as long as they keep it up, as long as they keep in prayer and in their word, they're all kinds of, everything's so much better. Everything's just gotten so much better. And, I'm just doing so much better and it's great. And, I'm having this victory or that victory in my life and the stress has kind of gone away and I see the Lord so clearly right now. And then time goes on and the new wears off and they quit praying. And they quit reading, and next thing you know, I'm talking to the same person about the same things, and it's the same counsel. Pray. 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 It's not any more complicated than that. Pray. Connect with God. You were made to worship Him. You were made to be in fellowship with Him. That's what your purpose is. And if you're not connecting with Him, if you're not engaged with Him, if you're not in His presence, of course you're going to have anxiety. Of course you're going to have stress. Of course you're going to have depression. Of course things aren't going to work because you have a real enemy that's working against you and you're not drawing on the power that's been given you through Him. We don't seem to value prayer because we don't understand what is available to us through prayer. We don't understand that God is ready to give us awesome victories over every trial in life if we will just turn to Him and learn to depend on Him instead of ourselves. Look, every answer you are looking for is in God. I promise you, every single last answer you're looking for, you can find in God. And the way we connect to God is through prayer. And He is ready to answer your prayers. He is ready to answer your prayers. You say, well, I don't know. Sometimes I pray for stuff and they don't come. Well, are you praying in the right spirit? Are you praying in His name? Are you really praying? Because I'm telling you, the Bible says that if you pray, if you ask in His name, you will receive. Turn over to Luke chapter 11. We're still in the introduction here, but I think it's an important introduction to make. Luke chapter 11. And Jesus gives this parable. Chapter 11 and verse 5. Actually, He gives a couple parables here. Chapter 11 and verse 5, Jesus is talking here and He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me these loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and excuse me, and I have nothing to set before him, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now, that's a little hard to follow, but He's saying, which one of you that has a friend, if somebody were to come over to midnight, would tell him to go away? None of you would. None of you would. He says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Isn't that true? So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Now that's a promise. That is an awesome promise from God that if you sincerely and diligently pray to Him, He will answer your prayers. Going on into the next parable, He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What's His point? Look, your Father loves you. He wants you to be taken care of. He wants to meet your needs. And He will. But you have to ask. You have to depend on Him. You have to connect with Him. Somebody said, well, why does God insist that you pray before He gives you what you need? Well, you know, here's the simple thing is, He wants to conform you to the image of His Son. He wants you to learn how to depend on Him because He is the only way, the truth, and the light. And if you're always trying to fix your own problem, then you're not depending on Him. Turn in Luke chapter 18, I won't make you turn there, but you heard about the parable of the unjust judge, right? The widow goes and she pleads her cause to the unjust judge, and the unjust judge just like kind of wants to blow her off, you know, sort of thing, but she keeps on coming. over and over again. And because he just grows weary, he says, though I do not respect man nor fear God, yet because of this, she's basically bothering him, he says, then I'll take up her cause. He says, now if an unjust judge will hear the cause of this widow, God, who is righteous and holy, will take up your cause. But what do you got to do? Pray. Pray. In James chapter 4:3, you hear the James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Now, that's speaking to unfaithful men, but the point is the same. The priority is the same. If you're going to have victory, you've got to depend on God for the victory. You have to look to Him. And if you look to Him, you will have victory. That's the promise. It's not ambiguous. It's not a might. It's not a should. It's not a, you know, maybe. It's you shall, you will have victory if you depend on God. What do you think it tells us that we, when we study through the Gospels, that we see Jesus constantly in prayer? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, constantly praying, asking God to give Him strength, to empower Him, to teach others, to glorify His name. What do you think it tells us that He constantly is in prayer? What do you think it tells us that as you go through the Old Testament, you read about the prophets and everything else, you see them in constant communication with the Lord and constant prayer? What do you think it tells us that you see that in the apostles over and over again through Acts? You know, 27 times in Acts it mentions that they prayed to the Lord. What do you think it tells us? In fact, going through the Old Testament, one thing that stands out to us is every time that something goes wrong, that there's an absence of prayer, isn't there? Now listen, if Jesus Christ thought He needed to pray, if the prophets, they needed to pray, and if the apostles thought they needed to pray, why is it that the average Christian couldn't care less about praying? What are we missing? Because we're missing the boat. We're missing it. We're missing the mark here. Because there's power in prayer. There is power in prayer. And prayer is absolutely vital to the health of the Christian and the church as a whole. Now look at our verse here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. As we talk about the instruction that Paul gives us on prayer. I meant to give a PowerPoint. I meant to give a PowerPoint, and I didn't give one, but that's all right. We can do this without a PowerPoint. You're just going to have to take my word for it on something here. So anyway, verse 18, I want to read that to you. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication and spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Look at that. Right there at the beginning of it, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is a bad translation. That is a bad translation. What I had on the PowerPoint was I wanted to show you how in the Greek this is phrased quite differently. And actually the New King James and the King James dropped the ball here a little bit. They drop the ball here a little bit. They kind of paraphrase here and they miss some very important detail because is not phrased like that in the Greek. The Greek reads quite differently. The Greek reads exactly as the Young's Literal Translation reads, which I'm going to read to you that. But and if you have an NASB, it reads very similar to the NASB. But the Greek reads like this. Listen. Through all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit. Very different, huh? Very different. Through all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit. That is the translation from the Young's Literal Translation, and that is exactly how it reads in the Greek. Through all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, I want to bring it into context, what I'm saying, because he's like, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Okay? So let's bring it in context. Let's read verse 17 with verse 18 worded correctly. Okay? So verse 17 says this, "And take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, through all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit." It says something different, doesn't it? Now, I debated whether or not to cover that, because the last thing I want to do is make everything too deep or too complicated up here. The last thing I want to do is that. And I definitely don't want to get anybody to start second-guessing what their Bible says. I still believe that the New King James and the King James is a very reliable translation. I just think they missed the mark on this one. And that's why you need a preacher to understand the Bible fully. Okay? That's why God gives us preachers and teachers to study it out a little bit deeper. But I thought, you know, I sat there literally for like 20, I've wasted a good 20, 30 minutes just sitting there thinking, should I do that, you know, kind of just going back and forth, should I really go through this? But here's why I think it's important to understand it correctly. Here's why I think it's important enough that I would do it anyway. Because the way the New King James reads, it is saying, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's kind of like it's saying, while you're putting on the armor, or inconsequential to you putting on the armor, be praying all the time. That's kind of what it's, the way it seems to be saying, right? But the way that it actually says it in the Greek, it's saying, you're putting on the armor is dependent on your prayer. You understand the difference? See the difference? See why it's important? Your ability to even put the armor on depends on you praying to God and God empowering you to put the armor on. You get that? See the difference? See why it's important to understand it the right way? It's an important difference to make. And in case you didn't catch the difference, here it is. It is the difference of saying pray while you do something and saying pray so that you can do something. You see, the important connection to make here, and the one of the King James translation misses the mark on, is that it is only through the power of prayer that you can put any of the armor on at all. It is only through the power of prayer that the Christian can have victory at all, because it is through prayer that we access the power of God to enable us to put the armor on, to enable us to understand the Word so that we can wield it in combat against the enemy. Just look at verses 19 through 20. Look at what they say. It says, "And for me," Paul teaching here, he says, "And for me, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, there's two things he asks them to pray for there. What is it? Number one, that they'll give him utterance, and number two, that they'll give him, that God will give him boldness. Paul says, pray for me that I will have utterance and that I'll have boldness. Now look, this is Paul. You guys remember who Paul is? If there's one person in all of Scripture other than Christ who would have utterance of the Word, it was Paul. If there's one person who got more utterance of the Word, more opportunity to preach the Word, more open doors to preach the gospel, it was Paul. I mean, the guy literally wrote half of the New Testament. Half of the New Testament written by Paul. I mean, this guy, he started dozens of churches all across the known world. In fact, they would say, humanly speaking, if it wasn't for Paul, you wouldn't have the Christian church like it is today. I believe God would have found another way, but that's not the point. The point is, Paul had the utterance, and yet here he is praying for more utterance. Boldness? Do I need to remind you of how bold Paul was? I don't think there was another person in all of Scripture as bold as he was. Somebody said, well, Peter was pretty bold. Listen, Peter was pretty bold against the Sanhedrin. That's great, but when it came to them of James that came to the company and you know, they were getting all caught up in legalism and whatever, Peter went right along with them. I love Peter because he reminds me a lot of me sometimes, good and bad. But he wasn't as bold as Paul. I mean, Paul was bold. Paul would walk into the synagogues. That was where he always started his ministry. You know, the Jews that wanted to kill him, he would go into synagogues and preach Christ. He'd stand on top of Mars Hill and preach to them about how ignorant they were about the unknown God. I like it. In Acts chapter 14, it talks about him preaching in Lystra, and it says that Jews of Antioch came, and they stirred up the people, and they stoned him, and till they thought he was dead, and then they drug him out of the city. And then you know what he did? He got up, and he went back into the city. And then he goes to Derbe, within just a couple verses. He goes to Derbe, preaches the gospel, and then he goes back to Lystra. I don't think he liked being stoned. I don't think he liked people trying to kill him. But he was bold, man. He had power in the Lord. He wasn't scared of anything when it came to the gospel. But yet, here he is, praying for boldness. Pray for me that I'll have boldness to deliver the gospel. Pray for me that I'll have boldness. You know, just think about that for a second. Paul preached in the face of death before kings and governors and religious zealots that wanted to slay him. All the time, that was just routine for him. You know, he goes through, he gets his credentials in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just talks about a night and a day in the deep and all this stuff, you know, being thrice beaten, 49 stripes minus one, and or whatever, however that goes. I don't know the perfect quote there, but I mean, he was bold. But you know, Paul had all the boldness you and I would ever need, or even want for that matter, and yet, here he is telling this church in Ephesus to pray for him that he would have boldness. What's that all about? What does that tell you? I'll tell you. You see, Paul understood that his utterance, his opportunity to preach the word, his boldness to preach in the face of any danger he was up against came from God. Came from God. He was totally dependent on God. Totally and completely dependent on God. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. He knew that the only way he could do anything at all was through the power of God. And Jesus said the same thing in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Paul knew that. And let me tell you, if that's true for Paul, it's certainly true for you and me. Because we aren't half the soldiers of faith that he is. We're not half the soldiers. We don't do half the stuff. We don't try half as hard. I mean, listen. If you were to measure it, somehow quantify it in like some, you know, linear graph or whatever, you know, Paul would be clear over on that side of the room and you and I'd be stuck right here. We don't do nothing compared to what he did. But he still felt like he needed to pray. And for some reason, we don't. For some reason, we got it in our heads that, like, we got this, man. I got this all figured out on my own. If I just try hard enough, you know, if I just do the best I can, you know, that's going to get me there. And then what follows? All this anxiety, all this stress, all this depression and everything else that follows, you know, and all that stuff. And we just, you know, sort of leave God out of the equation. And we get what we deserve. But listen, through prayer, we have the same access to the same throne that Paul did. You have the same exact access that Paul did. God's not a respecter of men. Now, God might have used Paul in different ways than He'll ever use us, and that's fine. That's God's prerogative. That was God's choice to do that. God elected Paul for that specific mission and purpose. But the promise that He made to Paul about access to the throne is the same promise He makes you and me. It's not a different promise. And when you're going through hardship and you're going through your little Lystra encounters in life of persecution where, you know, family or friends doesn't really understand your stand on Christianity or whatever and they're attacking you, you can depend on the same resource to get you through that as He did. What are we not getting about prayer? Why is it that we don't understand the awesome power that we have through prayer? The power to overcome adversity, to overcome depression, persecution, loneliness. I mean, really, help me to understand this. Help yourself to understand it. What keeps you from hitting your knees and praying? There's so much here, you know, I don't know that I'm going to be able to cover it all, but I just want to go ahead and get through this because there is a lot here, but I just want to make this point here. You can't understand truth without God. You can't be righteous without God. You can't put on any of the armor at all without God, and you certainly can't take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, without prayer. That's why I emphasize that week after week. Pray, pray, pray. Pray before you go witness. Pray before you read your Word. You know, I was just telling somebody that this morning. I'm like, did you, you know, he had an issue with something that he read and he didn't really understand it. And I said, did you pray? No, I didn't. Listen, pray. Myself and my own experiences. I realize that I am not, when I forget to pray, when I don't pray, I'm not as effective in my ministry. I'm not as effective in my reading of my Word unless I'm praying all the time in everything I do. I remember here just a few years ago, I remember how excited Mike got when we were going through the how to teach class or how to study your Bible class or one of those. I know it's been several years. It seems like it's gone by really fast. But I remember the one thing that he drew out of there we taught in that class was before you ever open up your Bible, you pray. Before you ever open up your Bible, you pray that you'll understand it. How many times do I hear that from people? I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand what it's saying. It's just so complicated. So such big words and everything else. And so he said, listen, before you do any of that, you pray. And I remember he went home and he actually applied that. And he came back and he was like, listen, that made the difference. And he was excited about it because it really did make the difference. And I've heard that from some of you. And that, yeah, you same thing. You know, you said, I didn't understand it. And I said, well, make sure you pray earnestly that God will help you to understand it before you read it. And then you came back and you said, hey, that made the difference. It worked. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. And sometimes I take a shortcut. And I can tell the difference. Sometimes I don't pray like I should. I'll pray, but not like I should. You know, sometimes it's those shortcut prayers. Anybody ever do that? Yeah? God knows the difference. You're not fooling Him a bit. It's not the same. It's not the same. And I'll notice the difference. I'll notice the difference in my preaching. I'll notice the difference in how I understand the Word. I notice the difference when I don't pray like I'm supposed to. And I've had times when I was reading and I stopped myself and I prayed right. Because I knew it was making a difference. Listen, you got to pray. You got to pray if you're ever going to understand the Word. You got to pray if you're ever going to be able to put on any of the armor. Let's look at our verse here again. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, just for some of you who are wondering what the difference is between prayer and supplication, just real quick, prayer is a worshiping prayer. That's proxuke, and that's worshiping prayer, and then supplication is the essay, and that means urgent request. That's the difference. Supplication is requesting for yourself or for others. You're supplicating. And prayer, of course, is worship. That's the difference of when you're praying, you say, Lord, I just want to acknowledge you, Heavenly Father, holy is your name. That's prayer. And give us this day our daily bread. That's supplication. Okay? Understand the difference there? Good. But the thing I want to turn your attention to right now is that he says, all. In all prayer. In all prayer. The word here in the Greek is passes. Passes. And it means literally all the forms of prayer and supplication. All the forms of prayer and supplication. Now that could be referring to all the different prayers that we pray, right? All the different, there's the stuff like we just talked about, prayer and supplication, or those different thanksgiving, those kinds of prayers. Paul uses all those different words in different texts or whatever to describe prayer. We'll be talking about that, and I think somewhat that's included. I think that's included in this. In fact, I believe that is what he's talking about here. But taking it a step further, I believe that what Paul is including here is all the ways that we pray. All the ways that we pray. So what do you mean? Well, I don't want to overcomplicate it, but all the ways that we pray. Like, you get down on your knees in the morning and you pray. That's one way. And then there's the, as I'm driving in to and from work and I'm just talking to the Lord, that's a different way that I pray, right? Pray the same things a lot of the time, some of the same stuff, but it's just a different way. And then there's sometimes when, somebody asks me a really complicated question about Scripture that I don't really understand how to answer them, it's just all these verses and everything swimming around and I can't really make sense of them, and sometimes I'll just kind of do like a, Lord, please help me, and then I'll just give them the answer. Or, answer it to the best of my ability. And so there's all these different ways that we pray, and I think that's what Paul's getting at here. And sort of like Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, it says when he was standing before the king, and he told the king what was stressing him out, and the king says, that his people were in ruins and everything else, right? You guys remember the story? And then the king says, well, what would you ask of me? And he says, then I prayed to the Lord, and then I answered the king. Now, I don't believe that he went and ignored the king and didn't give him an answer, and then went and prayed somewhere, and got on his hands and knees, and ask the Lord, please help me answer this king wisely and everything else. I think it was just kind of like what some of us do sometimes. We just, Lord, please help me. And then he gave the king an answer. Something like that. I believe that's what Paul's getting at here when he says that through all kinds of prayer and supplication. And I believe that because of this. Paul says, praying always, or literally, at all times praying in the Greek, or at all occasions. And we know that, if you just limit it to being on your hands and knees and praying and, giving your whole concentration to the Lord and never, really getting up or anything like that, it'd be impossible, wouldn't it, to pray all the time. You say, well, what's the point? The point is that, listen, a lot of us, we don't pray like we should. We don't depend on the Lord like we should because we associate praying with this time when you gotta, bow your head and fold your arms and, that would be real awkward if you're driving down the road and you prayed like that. You wouldn't stay on the road too long. But prayer isn't about that. When he says pray all the time, when he says all that, what he's talking about is constantly be connected with God. Constantly depend on the Lord so that when those come up, so that when those hardships come up, those depressions, those doubts and all that stuff, you know exactly where to go. You know exactly where to go so that when somebody comes at you with something, you know where your strength is. And so when he says pray all the time, he's saying be focused on God all the time. At all times, in all seasons. Throughout the week, there's all kinds of different ways that I'll pray. I talked about those. There's all kinds of different ways that we all pray that we connect with the Lord. There's my formal times, and then there's my not so formal times. But the point is that I try to stay connected with Him at all times. And that's what He's telling us to do. Stay connected with God. Depend on God. There's lots of different kinds of prayer that we do all throughout the day. And it isn't always formal, but the point is that we are to be mindful of God at all times. All times. In everything that we do. And then I got one last point I'm going to keep you here for, and then we'll be done. But he says, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The prayer isn't all about you. It isn't all about you. Our prayers are not just focused inwardly, but they are to be focused outwardly as well. I was listening to a sermon this week, and the guy said, he says, you know, I don't ever pray for myself. I don't, you know, whatever you do or whatever. He says, I don't believe the Bible anywhere teaches you to pray for yourself. He says, I believe it always teaches you to pray for others. And I thought, you know, for somebody I highly regard like this guy, I really respect this guy. I was like, that is just not true. All over in Scripture, the Bible tells you to pray for yourself. I mean, James says, in James chapter 1, he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. What's he telling you to do? Pray for yourself that you'll have more wisdom, right? I pray for myself. Listen, you guys, be thankful that I pray for myself every day that God will give me wisdom. Because on my own, I'm an idiot. Thank you for not commenting on that. Jesus prayed for Himself over and over again. One of the examples in John chapter 17, his high priestly prayer, the first thing he does is he prays for himself. The apostles pray for themselves. John tells you to pray for forgiveness. I mean, all over the Bible it tells you to pray for yourself. But it doesn't just tell you to pray for yourself. Right? It tells you to pray for others too. And that's what it's telling us here. Pray for all the saints. Listen, other people are having hardships. Other people are going through things too. And pray for them. You know, Samuel says, God forbid that I should ever sin in ceasing to pray for you. What was his mindset there? He knew it's his responsibility to pray for others. And it's our responsibility to pray for one another. It's my responsibility to pray for you and your responsibility to pray for me, and we pray for one another. And see, when we do that, when we pray for one another, what happens is we begin to be mindful of one another's needs. And we begin to be mindful of one another's hurts and one another's strifes. And when that happens, we can't help but care about one another. And we can't help but meet one another's needs where we can. And we can't help but, you know, just grow together as one body more and more as we pray for one another. Pray for one another. That's what a family does. I pray for you, and all the time you're praying for me, and through that process we become mindful of one another's needs and hurts, and by the natural way that things work themselves out, we grow closer and closer to one another. It's important that we pray for one another. It's essential to the body. You know, sometimes I'll notice when somebody's got some stuff going on in their family or whatever. I talked to it earlier about me, you know, when I notice they got all this stress and all this anxiety and everything else, I ask them, have you been praying? And they say no. Well, I'll tell you the other side of that coin is I usually realize, not all the time, but I usually realize that I hadn't been praying for them like I ought to either. Corporately, I pray for every one of you every day. But individually, some of you get more attention because you've got more going on than others. And I notice that, you know, when this stuff comes in, it's like I haven't prayed for them in a while. And then I'll start praying, earnestly praying for them. And, you know, it amazes me how often I see when I start praying for somebody, earnestly praying for somebody, how the stuff just kind of goes away. The problems start going away. And God answers those prayers and corrects the situation. And it just reminds me that there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. And you know, I want to tell you, God doesn't answer those prayers any better for me because I'm a preacher than He does for you. If you're faithful and you acknowledge Him as the fix for the situation that comes up, He'll answer your prayers. You have the same access to the same throne of God that I do. So use it. Use it as often as you can. Acknowledge Him in everything you do, in every situation, in your personal struggles, and in the struggles of all the other saints that you know. You know, just pray. Pray. You know, I can't preach a home run every week. I know that. I know I'm limited. I know, you know, some weeks there's so much information and it's so much, you know, explanation that I lose you guys. I lose you. You know, Robert, yeah, you do. That's good. I do. I lose you guys. And sometimes, you know, you're walking out of here and you're feeling a little bit better, you know, and you're feeling a little bit more encouraged and everything else. And some days, you know, I just sit here and preach and it's like almost like there's got to be an alarm that has to go off when it's all done. You know, wake you guys up because, you know, I've just done a real good job of explaining, but not a good enough job about illustrating or, you know, giving an application or whatever. But, you know, regardless, there's always truth in the message. And don't walk out of here, because I know today was one of those days. Don't walk out of here and not glean the truth from this message. There's power in prayer. That's the point. There is power in prayer. And there is no power in not praying. There's one thing that will be sure. The power goes with the prayer. So if the prayer's missing, so is the power. So when you walk out of here, listen. Be in that mindset. Constantly give diligence all day long to the Lord and acknowledge Him that you're dependent on Him for your power, for your ability to overcome. All right, with that, let's close.